So good morning, church. We are continuing then in our preaching in the book of Matthew, and we are still in chapter 10 this morning. Matthew chapter 10, tell your Bibles there. And you heard your pastor saying that he's not getting used to this leading the worship. So I think he's trying to say that next week is preaching. So people who are used to leading their worship can lead the worship, then those who are preaching can preach. Amen. So Matthew chapter 10, we read the last three verses, verses 40 to 42. As we are completing the preaching in the book of Matthew chapter 10, it has been a 4-week journey in Matthew chapter 10. And this week we are finishing it off. Verse 40 to verse 42. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Father, for indeed your word is for all times. It's for times of joy. It is for times of sorrow and sadness. But it is a word that endures forever, a word that is useful, will never lose its power. Indeed, we still trust in you to speak through your word even this morning, to encourage our hearts, to renew our minds, to use it, O Lord, to build your church, to break the stony hearts that will not subject themselves. Indeed, your word is able to do that. So we pray that you may work even this morning, all to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So then, brethren, we come to the end of the instructions that Jesus is giving to his disciples before he sends them out. Remember that in this whole chapter, he chose 12 men, 12 disciples, and he's to send these disciples to the towns and villages of the Jews for one mission, that they might go to these towns and villages of the Jews and to proclaim that the dead which they've been waiting for, the kingdom of God which for years they've been waiting for, has finally come. And then we see that after this verse 40 to 42, after this passage we'll be dealing with, Jesus will be releasing these disciples to then go out. And from verse 1, he had been giving them these instructions, what to expect as they are going out into these towns and villages. And also to equip them to be able to know how they must react as they come to these towns and villages. So here he has said all that was necessary for them before they could go there. He had equipped them. And now we hear the last words that he gives to them just before they go out to the villages and to the towns of the Jews to go on their first preaching mission that they are undertaking. And just to remind you then what we have looked at, we have seen that Jesus had told these disciples how they will not be welcomed by many people as they are going to these towns and villages. And he mentioned that some of them may actually be arrested, not just on this occasion, but generally in the future as they're going out to preach the gospel, that some of them may be taken to the governors and the kings for the sake of the kingdom, where they will have to answer for themselves. And he also mentioned that even some within their own families will hate them. They will not welcome them as they're going to preach this message of the kingdom of God. And last week then, we dealt with a heavy message that Jesus was giving to them, that he was telling them that they have to be prepared to even die for this message of the kingdom of God. He told them that they must carry their own cross and follow him. They must be prepared to come and walk behind him as he is going to that cross, that they must know that they themselves will also go to their own crosses to die for this very gospel. But then this week, then we see a great encouragement that Jesus is giving to his disciples. Having told them of all the troubles that they will go through as they are preaching the message of the kingdom of God, here then we see that although there will be many people who will reject them, but there will be some few, a remnant of the people who would welcome them as they go into their villages, as they go into their towns to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. So then, first of all, Jesus starts in verse 40 by saying to the disciples, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." So we notice here that Jesus is detailing to these disciples that there will be those who would welcome them. There will be those, as they are going to the houses, who will receive them. They will be welcome. And if there are no people who will welcome the disciples, then there will be no need for Jesus to mention this thing, that if they receive you, they receive me. And by mentioning that, he is implying that there will be people who will welcome the disciples. There will be people who will not mistreat them, but people who will joyfully receive them into their homes so that they may hear what they have to say, what Jesus has told them to say to them. And Jesus is saying this very thing because he knows that some among the Jews will indeed welcome these disciples, although that many occasions many will reject them, but there will be some. And he has spent a lot of time speaking about those who will reject them. But now he spends time speaking to them about those who will welcome them. A few people who will welcome them into their homes. And these brethren must have been an encouragement to these disciples. They have heard of how some will throw them into prison. They have heard of how they may even die for the gospel. And they have heard of how some, even within their families, will not even want to hear about this kingdom of God. But now they get to hear that even in the midst of all these things, there are those who would welcome them. There are those whose hearts will rejoice as they are coming with this message that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now we see that these disciples know that. Now they have to know that not all people are the enemies of the gospel. Because as Jesus was speaking, they may have thought that, well, no one is going to receive this message. But now it is being made clear to them that not all people are the enemies of the gospel. They now have to know that some will rejoice when they hear this message of the kingdom of God. They now know that as they are going to these villages and towns of the Jews, they will not go in vain. Because Jesus is sending them to these towns. And then now they hear that people will not welcome you. But as Jesus is saying these words, now they know that we are going there. But even there, Jesus has his own people. People who will welcome them, who will rejoice that indeed this good news of the kingdom of God has reached them. Now listen to what Prophet Isaiah had said hundreds of years before this very occasion. 10 in the book of Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. And to hear what the prophet said about this. disciples as they're going out. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So we see that these disciples, as they're going out to those who will welcome them, they will be the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. Their feet were to be beautiful. They were to be filled with the good news of the kingdom of God. And we see that thousands of Jewish people were to rejoice. They were to be excited that the disciples had went on this mission to proclaim this message that the Jews had been waiting for years and years. And we see that the Jews who were longing to hear of this message were now to be filled with joy unspeakable. And these disciples, they were to preach that the peace of God, the one that he had promised through prophet Isaiah, has finally come through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these disciples then, they were going to bring good news of happiness to these Jewish people who will welcome them. And those who will welcome them, their hearts will rejoice. Although they were discouraged, wondering when will the Messiah come, and when these disciples are going. Although they'll be rejected by some, but those who will welcome them, they will rejoice, knowing that they waited to hear the news of the Messiah, and then the feet will come. From the mountains, the feet will come, bringing this good news that finally the Messiah they've been waiting for is here, and that finally the kingdom of God, which they've been waiting for, which had been promised to them for years and years, will finally be proclaimed unto them, and their ears will hear that indeed the Messiah is at hand. So then we see that these Jews who would welcome this good news of the kingdom of God, they were to respond like that man, Simeon. If you turn into the book of Luke chapter 2, you hear of a Jewish man, a man who had been waiting for this Messiah to come, for this kingdom of God to come. And hear how he responded when he heard this good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. In Luke chapter 2, just turn there quickly, from verse 29 to verse 30. That man Simeon said, when he had seen Jesus, the one that God had promised, this consolation of Israel, hear what he said. He said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. So we see here that this is exactly the same thing that many Jews were going to say when they hear this news from the disciples, that the Messiah has come and he has brought his kingdom with him. They were going to thank God for such news, and their hearts were going to be filled with praises for God, that indeed, finally, God has fulfilled what he had promised to our fathers. God is still a God who is faithful to us as his people of Israel. He has brought his kingdom, the kingdom that we had waited for. And their hearts were to be comforted to know that indeed God has not rejected Israel, but in the fullness of time, he has sent his son to come into the world. So we see then, brethren, that there was no greater news for these disciples to deliver than the news that the kingdom of God is at hand. So our pastor mentioned that we are going to engage in evangelism. We are going to do it more than we have done it before. And this is the same for us. Although many amongst the people of Olivet do not care about this good news of the kingdom of God, but we have comfort from these words of Jesus, that there are those who will welcome this news, that those who are waiting to hear it. Jesus knows them. And as he's sending us to go to these streets and the homes, he knows that many of them will reject you. They will not welcome you. But there are those who will welcome, who will receive, who will rejoice to hear that indeed the kingdom of God is here. They will be happy to receive us in their homes so that we can tell them that salvation is made possible even for them through the man that God has chosen, the man Jesus Christ. So there are those, brethren, even here in the place of Olivet, who have been waiting to hear someone tell them of how they could be right with God. Many of them may look like they are not interested, and that is true, they are not. But here is an encouragement that there are those who will receive, that those who are waiting for the feet of those who are bringing the good news, those who have been waiting, knowing that something is missing in their lives. But when the good feet, the feet that Isaiah is talking about, arrives in their homes, how they will rejoice, how they will thank God that indeed even this good news has arrived even in their homes. And they will rejoice when they hear that they have to enter into this kingdom of God. They do not have to build this kingdom. They simply have to enter it. Because many today are told that they have to build it. They have to engage in some good works. But they are waiting to hear that they need to enter into this kingdom. That they do not have to change. They simply have to come as they are. And the king of the kingdom is the one who is able to change them and make them suitable for his kingdom. So this way is then, brethren, that we see here, they should encourage us then to go out in full force in evangelism. I know one of the worries that people have is that they will be rejected. It is true, it will happen. But when you hear the words that there'll be those who welcome you, that should give us the confidence that even here God has his own people. Even here, Jesus knows those that he's sending us to. It was his design that we should not know who it is who will welcome us and who it is who will not welcome us. Otherwise, we'll just simply go to them and ignore everybody else. But we have to go through everyone. And then 9 of them will say no. But they will be one who will welcome. They will be one who will rejoice. And that one who will rejoice, he will speak like Isaiah and say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Olivet, your God reigns. So that's a good encouragement for us as well. So another thing we see here, brethren, in verse 40, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So we see here that Jesus is showing these disciples that although this preaching of this message of the kingdom could get you killed, but it is also the greatest news to deliver in all of the world. And this is not the message from the disciples themselves, but it is the message from Jesus. They are not simply representing themselves, but they are representing Jesus Christ himself. And it's not just the message from Jesus. It is the message from the highest authority of all, which is God the Father. And this is to show the disciples the authority that the message holds. And that as they are going there, they are not going alone. But they have the Son and they have the Father. And that the disciples must see that they are merely the feet. They are just going. But the mouth was ultimately God. The disciples were just to go, allow themselves to be used, allow their bodies to be used by Christ, just as Christ allowed himself to be used by the Father. But the words were to flow directly from the Father. And when people are welcoming these disciples, they were also welcoming the Son and the Father as well. But the disciples had to go to those the Father had sent them. And they had to see that they are instruments in the hands of God, that they have to enable themselves to be a mouthpiece of God. They have to enable themselves to be those whose mouths are used by God, so that as they go to these villages and towns, that God can speak directly to the people by using the mouths of these disciples. And we see as well that the disciples were not merely preaching this message. They were not merely to just go and preach it, but they were presenting the Father and the Son to the people. And as they're going into these homes and as they're being received, Jesus says, those who receive you, they receive me. And those who receive me, they receive their Father. So by going then to these homes, they were to offer Christ to the people. They were to say to the people, here is Christ. You have been waiting for him. What are you then to do with him? Just as we have been presenting him to you, what are you to do with him then? And they are to encourage people, take him, take this Christ, receive him. Just as you have received us, receive this same Christ. And this family were not merely to receive the words that the kingdom of God is at hand, but they were receiving the Son himself. And as they were receiving the Son, they were receiving the Father as well. Because whoever receives the Son receives the Father as well. So the disciples had not just to offer this message of the kingdom, but to offer the people the Son of Christ, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, here he is in your homes. Believe not just the message, but believe also in him, so that they may also believe in the Father. So we see that when Jesus says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me, he was basically saying to these disciples, as you enter these villages, they were not entering alone. They had with them the Father and the Son. And when they were welcomed in the home, the Father and the Son were welcomed as well. The very presence of God was to dwell in that home. As people in that home listen to the message, as they believe this message, as they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Father comes and dwells even in that very place. So by welcoming the disciples and by believing this message, then these Jews will be receiving Christ. They will be making Christ their King. Not just having the message being brought to their ears, but receiving Christ himself, that they may know him. So that's a lesson for us as well, that when we evangelize, we need to offer people Christ. And we have a confidence then, that as we go even into these homes, we have Christ with us. We have the presence of Christ with us. That when people believe our message, then Christ will come and dwell with them. He will make his home in them. And the Father as well will come and make his home in their lives. So we should not just merely deliver the good news, but to show people Jesus Christ. That we should offer people Christ and say, receive Christ. That they may also see that Christ is the very message. You don't just believe the message and reject Christ, but you believe the message that Christ might dwell even in your life. Then in verse 41 and verse 42, we see Jesus mentioning that there are rewards to be received by those who are welcoming the disciples. Just look at verse 41 and verse 42. He says there, the one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So we see here, brethren, that these Jews who will welcome their disciples, they will be under the blessings of God, unlike those ones who will reject them. Remember what was to happen to those who will reject the disciples. Just look at verse 14 to verse 15 of chapter 10. It says there, and if anyone will not receive you or listen to your ways, shake off the dust of your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So we see that those who were to reject the disciples as they come to bring this message, they were under the judgment. And their judgment was more fierce than the judgment that was received by Sodom and Gomorrah. And rightly so. Because Sodom and Gomorrah had no preacher going to them. But these people had preachers being sent to them, being told about the very God who had come into the world and take a human form. Yet they did not want to welcome the very message. But unlike those, here says those who will receive the disciples, who would welcome them, who will accept this message, they will be given rewards. And Jesus is emphasizing in verse 42 that such rewards are guaranteed. They will not lose such rewards. Not only will they receive them, but they will not lose them having received them. But before we go any further, notice a very important aspect that Jesus puts forward, a condition that has to be met by those who receive the disciples before they can receive such rewards. First of all, we see that they will receive the rewards for welcoming the disciples into their homes, into their towns, and rejoicing at this message. And we have seen that it is not just merely receiving the disciples, but believing the message and therefore receiving Christ. But most importantly, they will receive such rewards only if they welcome the disciples, because they know that they are the disciples. It is one thing to welcome a disciple of Jesus when you don't know that he's a disciple of Jesus. But when you know that he's a disciple of Jesus and you still welcome him, this is what Jesus is talking about here. That there must be a determination by the people to welcome the disciples of Jesus specifically because they know that they are disciples of Jesus. So these people whom the disciples are sent to, they must make up their minds to accept the disciples of Jesus Christ, knowing full well who they are. But why? Because there were risks of accepting such disciples. And they must know those risks. And they must be determined to associate themselves with such disciples. Please understand why I'm saying that. During this time, it was un-Jewish. It was something that Jews were not allowed to do to be a disciple of Jesus. There was a stigma around Jesus. And everybody who called themselves by the name of Jesus was not welcomed. Jesus was known as a troublemaker, the one who's twisting the words of Moses, the one who's breaking the law, who does not keep the Sabbath. And the followers of Jesus were to be seen as not Jewish enough, as rejecting the very central point of Judaism, which is the law. And because of that, they were treated the way that Gentiles were treated. And you read, as you go through any of the Gospels, you will see that there was always this clash between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. That's why they wanted to kill him. And you will see that some of the things that they considered him to be a false teacher, a heretic. Now, if you were a Jew and you welcomed this man whom the Jewish leaders are not welcoming, then you were taking a risk. Because they will associate yourself with him. And as they do that, then there will be trouble coming your way. And we see even today that in the Jewish communities, as soon as you come out and say, I'm a Christian, they reject you. You are no longer good enough to be a Jew. How could you be a Jew and accept a man who they claim rejected the teachings of Moses? And many Jews today who are Christians are automatically kicked out of their families and lose the right to call themselves Jews. Why? Because they associated themselves with Jesus. So there was a lot of risk then that those who would welcome the disciples had to take. If a man comes and says, I'm a disciple of Jesus, and they know who Jesus is, they had to think twice about welcoming him into their homes. A perfect example is seen in the book of John chapter 9. Let's turn there quickly. In John chapter 9, let's read verse 22. You will see there that Jesus had just healed a man who had been born blind. And then this man was taken to the Jewish leaders to explain how he had been healed. And when this man told them that he had been healed by Jesus, these Jewish leaders called his parents to come and testify if really this man was born blind. But read what it says in verse 22. His parents now were answering these Jewish leaders. And he says, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. So if anyone was to welcome these disciples who are coming and say Jesus is Christ, and you welcome them in their homes knowing that they are preaching that, and you believe the very thing that they are saying, the judgment was to be kicked out of the synagogue. You were to be kicked out of the church. A synagogue were the local churches. You were no longer fit to come and worship with other Jewish people. So those who will welcome the disciples, they were risking persecution. This is why Jesus puts a condition that the person who will welcome the disciples will receive this reward only if they welcome the disciples because they know they are the disciples of Jesus. Not as they will welcome anybody else. So these people had to know the risk and accept such risk. They had to know that they will be kicked out of the synagogues. But they had to be content if that ever happened to them. And because of that then, such people were prepared to share in the sufferings of Christ and his disciples. And because of that, Jesus says they will also share in the rewards. Because they are sharing in the sufferings of the disciples, they will also share in the rewards that those disciples will get. That's what it says in verse 41 to verse 42. It says, the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So he says they will receive the disciples' reward as though they themselves were doing the works that the disciples were doing. If they welcome a prophet, then they will receive that prophet's reward in heaven. If they welcome a righteous person, then they will receive that righteous person's reward. If they welcome even the least of the disciples, the least important one, they will not lose the reward. They will receive the reward of that least of the disciples. And by welcoming these disciples, they will call upon themselves blessings from heaven. Now listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25. Turn there quickly. Matthew 25. From verse 35 to verse 40. Well, let's start from verse 34. Jesus says there, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why are you receiving such kingdom? Why are you inheriting such kingdom? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So Jesus is making it clear that the good works that will be done unto the disciples will actually be done unto Christ himself. And such good works will come with them rewards from heaven. And those who welcomed these disciples as they are going there to preach, they will hear these words from the King of Kings. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So this is the reward that will be received by those who will welcome such disciples. So brethren, we see then that this is an encouragement for Christians as well to undertake good works in the course of the gospel, to partake in the gospel, meaning that we must desire to help those who are engaged in the work of the gospel. We must come alongside those we know who are doing the work of the gospel. We must share in the burdens. We must ask them, how are things going? How can we help? And help them. We must share even in their workload. How can we make things better for you? So that the gospel of Christ could be advanced. And we see here that when such Christians succeed in their mission, then we will also reap rewards from heaven. As we partner with such Christians, God will also reward us as though we were doing the very work. That is a great encouragement for us to find ourselves partnering with others who are engaged in the work of the kingdom of God. So we should then seek to share in the sufferings of other believers, so we may also share in the rewards. We must not just be separate from them. When we see brothers suffering, and then we are just staying there at the back and washing them, but we should come alongside them, because we know that they will not reap the rewards alone, but we will reap the rewards with them as well. So we should not be people who are just concerned about ourselves, just concerned about our church. If things are going well here, we are happy. But we should be concerned about the greater church of God. Everywhere where the work of God is being done, we must be concerned about it and seek to find ways in which we could help so that the work of God could also be advanced. Now listen to what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as we have helped his people and continue to help them. So he says God is a God who deals justly with people, and because of the work you do, he will not forget it. As you are helping people, he will remember that, and he will reward the work that you are doing. So it's a message that is clear to us, that we have to help other Christians, because God will not forget the good work that we are doing. And on the day of judgment, we will also reap the rewards. We will rejoice as though we were doing that work ourselves. Because why? We have welcomed the disciples of Christ. So then in closing then, brethren, it has been a very good message in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Some of them were difficult to take, especially the one last week, which says that you must be prepared to die for the gospel. But here we are being encouraged that our hard work will reap the rewards. There'll be those who welcome us into their homes. So we should not think that we will always face opposition as we seek to make Christ known to others. No. It's true that most of the time we will, but not always. And that should be something that refreshes our hearts, to know that Christ knows those who are his. And where he's sending us, he's not sending us to where there are no people who are his. He can never do that. He's sending us to a place where he knows that there are those who are his, but the majority is those who are not his. The hard work will be dealing with those who are not his, so that we can get to those who are his. But encouragement is there. You will be received. As we do the work, indeed we will be received. And we need to remember, he mentioned in chapter 9 that the harvest is plentiful. So we should not think that God does not have his own people, because we find ourselves harvesting most of the time around chaff instead of wheat. But we should know that even though there is a lot of chaff, there is also wheat. And we will get to the wheat as well. And let us remember then that God will lead us to his people. And when that happens, they will rejoice at our feet, which comes into their homes to bring the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom of God is at hand. And also we must be careful then to show hospitality to other Christians, to partner with other Christians, to make it our business to to know what other Christians are going through. Not wait for people to tell you, but find out, how are you doing? How can we help? Because by so doing, we will reap rewards for ourselves on that day of glory. So after Jesus said these words then, in verse 42, the disciples went out. And we read then in the book of Acts that indeed the harvest proved to be plentiful. But also that indeed they had to pay with their lives. So we go knowing that the harvest is plentiful. And if we have to encounter trouble, we endure, as we had last week. May the Lord bless the message. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word, which is so encouraging to our hearts, that indeed it should not be found where Christians are discouraged to a point where they want to quit. Because indeed you have those who will welcome your disciples. Everywhere you have such people. Indeed, O Lord, may our feet go out to the streets and the homes looking for those who will welcome us, looking for those who will rejoice at the feet of those who are bringing good news, who are bringing the good tidings of salvation, that indeed the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, may you lead us, O God. May you give us strength to go out till we have arrived at each and every home, at each and every street where your people are, so they also may hear that the kingdom of God is at hand, that they may rejoice, that they, O Lord, may thank you for sending out laborers even in this place of Olivan. We give you thanks, we give you glory, in Jesus' name, Amen.